Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 16 of season 3. This one's called The Offspring. It was directed by Jonathan Frakes, who's that guy, written by Rene Echevarria, and it aired back on March 12th, 1990. In this episode, the android Data creates a child of his own named Lal and tries to raise her, while Picard takes on Starfleet research to keep them from taking her away. We're going to be talking to Clay about this one, The Offspring, directed by Jonathan Frakes, the first episode to be directed by a cast member, I think in all of Star Trek. But anyway, me and Clay are going to get into it right after this.
You may enter now.
Come on, Data. What is this?
Yeah, Data, what's going on?
I have invited you here to meet someone. This is Lal. Lal, say hello to Counselor Deanna Troi.
Hello, Counselor Deanna Troi.
How do you do, Lal?
I am functioning within normal parameters.
Lal? This is Geordi LaForge.
Purpose for exterior drapings, Father.
It is an accepted custom that we wear clothing.
Data, it called you Father.
Yes, Wesley. Lal is my child.
Clay, how are you?
I am good, Wes.
Are you going to do the robot as you walk down down towards your seat to do some podcasting?
How are you today?
No, Clay. You must not talk this way. You must talk more human-like. Would, if you guys haven't been able to tell, we're talking about The Offspring today, which, I was reading reviews, and a couple of reviews were giving the title flack, and I think this is the one time that Star Trek The Next Generation actually got the title right. Because offspring is like the perfectly non-emotional word for a child, right?
Yeah. What would people have preferred?
I don't know. I mean, they've already called an episode the child, so you can't use that one. So that's out.
Yeah. What about
baby android or something?
Three officers and a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or three officers and a little lady.
My little android, anything like that.
What was the name of that sitcom from the early 90s about this exact character, but she lived in like a rich house?
It's
like little something miracle or something. I don't remember. But
Little Wonder.
That's what they should have called it.
They should have had that actress come back.
It should have just been a crossover. Doing... I think it could have just added to that that everything is inside the globe of St. Elsewhere theory.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like I always get that show confused with Alf too. It feels like very similar to Alf in some ways.
Well, they did both eat cats. Little Wonder a lot more graphically than Alf did, oddly enough.
Yeah, a lot of just blood stains on the wall, and I always imagine it's not the father, it's not Bob Saget who's the father, but I feel he should have been, just would have fit in better. But anyway, like Blues Traveler said, we're going to talk about The Offspring.
Whoa. That's a deep cut.
You guys can find that one on Blues Traveler Best Of, the edition that they sell in all the Best Buys with the
available
silver lining.
Now on iTunes, next to this podcast. Send them a link. Give them a link. I think they need a link for that.
Sure. All right. You guys click in the video here. I'll take you to But Anyway by Blues Traveler. Probably their greatest song. So let's talk about Lal and Data. So this is the...
More like a lull in the season, am I right? Oh, yeesh.
Did you not like this episode?
No, I actually did. I liked it.
Okay. That's
That's good, because we're sort of... we recorded Sins of the Father before we watched this one. But this has probably been the strongest three-episode stretch that TNG has done so far, between yesterday's Enterprise, this one, and then Sins of the Father.
I would say so. It was pretty strong. The only downside, I think, is they missed their opportunity to have one of the bodies that Lull think about choosing be Tasha Yar.
Yeah, she picked some pretty generic costumes.
Well, listen, anything is better than what that thing was when it started, because
the thing of nightmares.
That first shot where it comes down from the like Frankenstein from the ceiling.
Yep.
I don't know who was in charge of lighting that thing, but there is the biggest glare right on its dick.
I saw that too.
Just could not look away.
it might be a high def problem, like first world problem. But
then
yeah.
I saw that Frakes directed this episode, so I was like, maybe he's just got something to do with that. I don't know.
We need more light. Bring more light into this scene.
Yeah. Can I get a dick light, please?
He fires the initial lighting guy for not lighting the dick properly. Yeah, this, as you mentioned, this is the first episode of Star Trek to ever be directed by a cast member out of any of the shows. And Jonathan Frakes is the first one. He's going to go on to probably become one of the most, I don't know if it's just happenstance. I mean, he's obviously very capable, but he directs the movies, and a lot of the movies, and he directs a lot of famous episodes. So he's going to come back again and again as a director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the episode where Data gets a daughter. He builds her, and then she is trying to become more human, just like him. And Data built her too good, and she goes into a cascade failure, feels emotions, and then dies at the end of the episode.
As you do.
As you do. As androids are wont to do. I feel everything this episode does is validated by the ending scene.
I agree. I was just going to say, I think... Overall, it's a pretty standard Star Trek episode that kind of felt like a bit of a rehash of Measure of a Man?
It's exactly a rehash of Measure of the Man.
Well, it's a little bit different because it's kind of like the note I wrote down about halfway through is this is the most polite DSS case I've ever seen.
Yes. Yep.
But it's very similar. It actually gets into some more interesting questions as far as ownership of a person and ideas of sentient beings. It's not as overt as Measure of a Man is, but right. they do some pretty have some pretty interesting questions that I liked. But as you're saying, that last scene or two scenes is just brings it home, and I think really they really nail it at the end.
Yeah it's I don't think it's to spoil anything. It's the ending is obviously the death scene between her and Data, which is good. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I think some of the lines are I'll feel love for both of us is a very like quotable Star Trek line.
I didn't like that line.
Oh really?
But what I did like was when she said I love you, Data kind of like deciding whether or not he should lie to her.
Right.
And then I'm sorry. Much like most people's parents probably say to them, I'm sorry. I just don't feel the same about you. Right. I just can't. I'm not capable of loving you.
I don't love accidents. I totally agree. It's a well played. It's a good shot that Frakes chose. It's just their faces. Like it's kind of a unique thing. They're standing up, but it's just their faces. It's well done. It's like gets a little dusty in the room. I won't lie. It's well played by the two of them in an episode that I really don't think does a lot to get you there. They play it off well enough to make it work at the end.
Yeah, and I think the best shot in the episode is the last shot where it's just on Data's face.
Yeah, as he's working.
Yeah, because this is the first time I really spent time looking at Data while he was talking, and I don't know if he was doing it more than normal in this episode, but he on all the close-ups he made it a point not to blink.
Yes.
I don't know if I have not noticed it enough to notice if that's something that he does all the time.
Yeah. You know, what I was thinking is that it might be the fact that I don't think the female actress is as good at playing an android as Spiner is at this point.
Uh-huh.
And I think her sort of like stilted awkwardness makes his performance seem better.
Yeah.
She's doing a lot of like walking around with her arms cocked like she's a robot from the 60s, you know, like with that sort of like nee-noo-nee-noo-nee-noo. Like,
well, it probably would have fit better if she had picked that green thing.
Right.
As her body.
As the Andorian. Yeah, no, I mean she's kind of weird because Data admits that he made her look more human than he's able to look somehow.
Right.
I don't understand that. But she acts less human, which I guess makes sense story wise, but it's a little bit awkward. It feels like she's more acting than Spiner is at this point.
Well, the thing that I couldn't really, it took me a bit to get my mind around was he talks about how he built her with the same programming that he has, but she's not like it. It's just like the base programming. I assumed that meant he just transferred all of the stuff he knew into her brain.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, she should be as well versed in the ways of humans as he is.
Right. If he just like copy pasted himself and
right.
made like a clone. Yeah. I don't know if the show actually clears up what he did. They spend more time trying to explain how this has become possible. He's like, I went to a seminar and they were talking about this and I copied it.
Which my
I don't understand why they cared that much. I do sort of, but I mean, you're right. He sort of made a copy, but they never make it clear why he would make it like an infant version of an android.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Unless it's some sort of weird experiment, which it's it looked that way from the beginning because I really liked the first couple scenes where Data was basically Dr. Krieger from Archer.
Yes.
Where like they open the door and he's just there holding a severed foot.
Right. Yeah, just patches it on. I thought that was a pretty well shot scene too. I mean, they use the other foot as human and it starts moving when he puts it on, but
right, it's
nicely. I like that set that they built for that,
mm-hmm.
which I think they go on to use a lot because I'm fairly certain that's the sets used in Best of Both Worlds when they rescue Picard. But I guess we'll see when we get to that, but it's, yeah, Data sort of created this android that is a freak show physically at first, sort of walking around the ship naked. They don't feel the need to put clothes on because Data has a very progressive, I'm not going to let my son play with male toys kind of thing. He's like, I'm going to let this person decide whatever they want to be
when they grow up. I was thinking that too. That was interesting that kind of idea is so prevalent now as a way of dealing with that stuff. I found that kind of interesting that they were covering that back then.
Yeah. It's sort of a roundabout way to do it. And do you think that was a male or female that they were, that was acting?
I assumed it was a male.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's no reason why they couldn't just change actors for the things, but
yeah.
I don't know. I guess I just assumed it was a male.
Yeah, super muscular, but they were making a lot of effort to make it look like they were covering up the bosom with like the armor plating that they had put onto her.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's not a huge deal. I just thought it was interesting. So then anyway, Lol decides that she wants to be a human female because she likes Troy. And
well, who doesn't?
Right, who doesn't? And Data builds a normal looking human appearance for her, and then she goes around the ship sort of learning everything. And I guess the B plot line is that a Starfleet admiral is going to come in and play the role of the evil scientist from Measure of a Man. And he's going to come and try to take away Lol. And what I thought was probably the worst part of the episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like I said before, some of the concepts they were playing with were kind of interesting, but I mean, as far as the weight of that story had, I should say, the admiral had no like real leg to stand on.
No, it's the same. It's the same as Measure of a Man. In both this and Measure of Man, the argument that Starfleet is making is not very good. So it's like I can't even. They don't even have a point where you're like, oh, that's kind of a good reason.
Well, at least in Measure of a Man, there was a, there was some sort of they wanted Data for a specific purpose.
Yeah.
In this one, it was just like, no, maybe they shouldn't be on a ship. Like,
right.
Yeah. The idea when the Admiral says, you know, there's only two androids like you in the universe right now. It would be a shame to have them both blown up on the same ship. I was waiting for Data or Picard to be like, so it was fine when it was just one?
Yeah, I know.
When it was the only one in existence, it was fine to be on a ship, but now that there's two?
He's like, Data, why don't you put on this helmet while you're walking around? We wouldn't want you banging your head on anything.
It's like you can't have the president and the vice president fly on the same plane just in case one of it goes down.
Yeah. This becomes Enterprise Air Force One or something.
But yeah. I really liked when Picard, like midway through all of that, those arguments, kind of like had a eureka moment where even he was like, wait a minute, this is stupid.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, she's a sentient being. She can make her own decisions. What do you want to do? I would like to stay here. Okay, she's going to stay here.
And he makes a great little humble brag. He's like, remember when I determined that androids have sentient rights in the court?
Oh, did he? I missed that.
He's like, remember when I did that? That was fantastic. Yeah, I just have a my problem with the Starfleet thing is that, their argument is basically, we can treat this android better at this starbase. It'll be better. It'll learn better. It won't become, like, flawed or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He's saying this as the show...
Because that always works.
He's saying this as the show is acknowledging that they don't know how to build them.
Yeah.
You know, so Data is the only one who can build them. So you figure he would be the best person to keep around.
Right.
And instead, he's just like, yeah, we couldn't build them, but you should come to the starbase. It's just, it's a stupid argument that really, it's only in there just to create a little bit of drama.
I don't know how to build a car, but I sure know how to drive that sumbitch, you know what I'm saying?
His hands were moving so fast, so fast.
Yeah, at the end, why is the advert, did I miss a line about him being some sort of robotics expert?
He's the head of Starfleet research or something.
Is that,
like that.
Is that why his tunic has that sweet sparkly piping on it?
That's right. He's I guess he's supposed to just be a very advanced scientific admiral. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that's the story and that's what they're sticking to it. Yeah, I think this is a very good episode. I just feel that getting to the end, it is not particularly interesting, or some of the points they raise are interesting. It doesn't feel like it's really all that great until you get to the ending.
Yeah,
a lot of Guinan scenes.
Yeah, I like when Guinan tries to explain what Bonin is.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was strange for me because I don't know. There was a weird, it like wasn't really hitting. It wasn't landing.
Yeah.
The way that it was supposed to. I got excited for a minute when after Data picks her up from preschool or whatever.
Yeah.
And she asks what jokes are, and I was like, oh, bring her to the holodeck. There's a guy on the holodeck who can teach her all about jokes.
That's he should have done that. But you reminded me, I love that scene. Just because Data's so unemotional, he's just like, they were laughing at you. They weren't laughing with you. And it's like, wow. I mean, I thought she was effective when she starts to feel emotion and it's fear that she's going to be taken away.
Right.
You know, I thought that was a good scene. Like, and I think it's a clever script thing to have her feeling emotion through a system failure.
Mm.
Like that's kind of a nice little tweak on the whole thing.
So at the end, when he cannibalizes her brain into his own brain,
yep.
Why does he not also take on the system failure? Because I assume it wasn't a hardware failure. It was a programming failure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he just cut that bit out. He just didn't want that. Didn't want that inside of him. Maybe it'll, or maybe that's lore, you know. And who knows at this point? The weirdest thing I thought about the ending was after he dies and Picard's like, "Our condolences, Mr. Data." You know, Picard's been going this whole thing about androids are people too. You think he'd offer him a little PTO? You know, like he's like, now take your post.
Well, that was actually what I really liked. I wish they had kind of dialed it back a little bit because when he came on and he said my condolences, I was hoping that Data was going to address it in a much more clinical way than he did.
Yeah.
Because you know, like I'm watching this episode, and to a certain extent, when this Lull is starting to break down, and it's supposed to be all sad that she's dying or whatever, in my head I'm thinking it's like, well, I mean, just shut it down and build it again,
right? Yes,
you know, yeah. Like, and I understand that everyone is supposed to have these, you know, emotional attachments and treating it like the death of a kid.
Yeah.
But in Data's mind, I would assume he would be like, okay, well, this didn't work. Next time I'll find this problem and I'll fix this problem and then I'll do it again. It'll be right.
Yeah. They never really explain why he doesn't keep trying to do this.
Yeah.
I guess I feel like there's an ethical argument. Like, ethically, it's not fair of him to do this, to like, to create things that are just going to fail and die and like feel mm-hmm. emotion about it. So, but they don't really bring that up. But in terms of what you were saying, I was hoping the ending I would have had, if Picard's like, now take your post, I would have changed it to Picard offering him leave and Data declining because he doesn't need it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, that would have been a good ending. Yeah.
And like then just having him, as you say, it goes to that great shot of he just walks down to his little comm thing and sits there and is normal again.
I mean, maybe he just assumes he didn't need leave. I mean, Riker didn't need leave after he slowly barbecued that girl with a phaser.
Yeah, Picard even hinted at that, and Riker didn't want to put this. As in terms of Riker, this episode, as we were saying, was directed by Frakes. So Riker is actually written into the story that he's not on board. He's like on shore leave.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back, and he does have a great scene where he immediately goes into 10 forward, sees Lol, doesn't know what she is, and starts to hit on her.
Yep. Which I was expecting, and I was glad that they didn't let me down.
Yep.
But on the other hand, I was like, wait a minute, how old is this body supposed to look?
Yeah, why did Data make it so adult?
But even so, I mean, like, just to look at her, I couldn't accurately guess her age. But I mean, I guess if she's working in a bar, I mean, he's using like Jersey Shore rules or something. I don't know. But
what Zeta has the great line. What does he say? What, Commander, what are your intentions with my daughter?
Yes. Yeah. That was really good. I like that.
Your daughter. And then he runs out. Yeah. It's, I think we've sort of covered this episode about why it's kind of, I find it a little bit difficult to talk about because I don't think it's great until the very end. I think the ending is great. I think it's probably the best emotion that the show has ever done, at least to this point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking we'll talk about this a little bit more in Sins of the Father, but I feel like this is another episode that was hindered by how short the 45 minutes are.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's tough because
I wouldn't be able to make this a two-parter is the problem.
No, I guess I'm just trying to think of what else would they do? You know, like the way that they were playing her character. I mean, if she doesn't have a meltdown, literally.
Right.
It just reminded me of in The Simpsons, the one where they see into the future where Lisa is going to get married.
Yep, yep.
And they have the robots that every time the robots cry, their faces melt off. Yeah. They should have done that. That's how it should have ended.
It's just, there was a lot of physical comedy that this episode didn't go with, like with a malfunctioning android or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like if excuse me, if they had used the emotion thing as to make her make some sort of rash decision or something like that, that might have been interesting. But yeah. I don't know. I just don't know how much story there is there aside from what they did.
No, I totally agree. And I would have been let down if like she started malfunctioning and started like being a danger to the ship. I would have felt that's a little bit lame at that point. It's not really what the story needs.
Yeah. Part of me kind of wishes that was the tack that the Admiral took instead of just being like, hey, you know, we should have two of these, but not here.
Yeah, not together.
If it was more like, you know, we don't know what this thing's capable of. We don't know what Data could have done to it. We don't, you know,
yep.
like
yep.
that would have been a little bit more interesting. I mean, it gets away a bit from the metaphor they were playing with, but I think it still applies.
Yeah, because it's still, the idea is that it's still a child to Data,
right.
And whether
right.
or not you're allowed to just sort of like destroy families or whatever. But I think that's a better idea to actually have Starfleet be concerned instead of just randomly wanting to study her.
You know what else they should have done now that I'm thinking about it? They should have had Crusher in that conversation, and they should have had Crusher throw it back in the Admiral's face. And like, because the thing I was thinking as they were having this discussion was the Admiral's like, well, you know, this is kind of Starfleet property, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, so wait a minute, why doesn't somebody say, so are you telling me that every child born on this ship is Starfleet property?
Right, yeah.
And I feel like that's a conversation that Crusher could have.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But not
yeah.
not really anybody else.
No, that's true. I'd agree with that. It's also a little bit undone by Measure of a Man, because Measure of a Man already sort of determined all this stuff. You know, mm-hmm. it's like
right.
their whole court ruling sort of ruled that he is a person. So Starfleet's argument really is falling even flatter at this point as to like, well, fuck it. Like, I still kind of want to take the kid and see what happens with it.
You know what else I would have done? I also would have replaced Troy. Surprise, surprise.
This is not a bad episode for Troy. She served a purpose here.
Yeah, but know? even so, I would have replaced her with Crusher. I think they could have done a lot more with the idea of, I mean, you know, she's a single mom raising a kid on a starship.
Right.
I think there could have been a lot more interaction with her and Data and her and Lull.
Yeah. Or why not have Wesley more interact with the android?
That's gross, Wes. Come on. Come on.
He's fully functional. She's fully functional.
Just save it for your fan fiction, okay?
You guys can check that out. I'll put a link to that as well. Check out Blues Traveler and my fan fiction. But it's I sort of agree. I mean, because they're so obviously paralleled. Those two, Crusher right. and Wesley Crusher and Lol and Data. I do feel
Lol
like
Lol kind of sucks. Wesley kind of sucks.
Why did he call it Lol?
I don't know. They made some comment that the name means
something. It means beloved in Hindi. Oh, that's right.
Something like that. Yeah,
It's not as it's kind of disappointing because we eventually learn that the Soong androids have like a sort of whimsical naming. Thing to them, like the early prototype is called B4. Data is Data, and then Lore. He tends to like those sort of crazy or sort of symbolic names, and this one is not that.
Yeah.
It's also a weird name to say, Lol.
Should have just named her Idiot.
Why not just call her LOL? Like, just have her laugh all the time. Or once she feels emotion and laughs, she should just be like, change my name to LOL, and then dies.
Well, we didn't see it actually written down, so you could retcon it in your brain that it's LOL is spelled LOL.
Oh, I just remember the one last thing I really wanted to talk about, outside of the fact that this was a... I'll just give a little bit of facts now. The Offspring was a spec script. It was written by Rene Echevarria, who submitted it on spec. Rene Echevarria becomes a big Star Trek writer. He moves on this show and DS9. The original script was much more focused about the new android, and Michael Piller wanted it rewritten to be about Data this episode, which makes sense. That's his sort of MO for how these episodes are coming out.
How so?
Just because Piller's thing when he came in was just that he wanted to move away from Alien of the Week and make all the stories have to reflect on one of the characters that are on the show.
Oh, I see. Okay. I agree with that.
Which has been a change from early on. The early first and second season were totally plot-driven shows, are more character stories. The first one directed by Frakes. He had begged to get the show done. They eventually gave it to him. He'd become a big worker. Whoopi Goldberg actually modified her script line to gender-neutral. According to the script, Guinan was supposed to tell Lol when a man and a woman are in love, and she changed it to when two people are in love.
Oh,
which is very ahead of the curve.
Very progressive of
her. Originally, it was also supposed to be a same-sex couple holding hands, but someone made a phone call, and the lawyers came down and told them that there was no way that that was going to be allowed. That's pretty much it. The other thing, the most shocking moment of this script... Did you have no idea what Guinan was responding to when Lol says a contraction?
Yeah, no, I didn't get that at all until they spelled it out. Yeah.
She reacted like Lal just said, "I have a bomb on me." She's like, "What the fuck did you just say?" And I didn't even, you don't even notice it. Like, I don't notice Data never saying contractions. It doesn't even appear to me.
Right, yeah. I didn't catch that at all. It was kind of strange, actually.
Yeah, kind of was all over, and her reaction was equally all over it, I guess would be the way to talk about it.
Grammar Nazi over there.
Yeah, really. Just serving drinks and correcting grammar. That's her resume. But yeah, do you have anything else you wanted to add about this one?
Not really. Yeah, I think the whole thing is sort of wrapped up by the end there. It is kind of strange because as I said earlier, I was trying to think of like what is there more to do with the story, and it kind of doesn't really find its footing as far as interesting things to do. Like, the concept is interesting, but the execution and the exploitation of the concept is not.
As interesting, or doesn't best suit the material sometimes.
Yeah,
I totally agree. So I'm going to play a audio clip, and me and Clay are going to be back. We're going to give our rating for this episode, The Offspring.
Lal, I am unable to correct the system failure.
I know.
We must say goodbye now.
I feel.
What do you feel, Mom?
I love you, Father.
I wish I could feel it with you.
I will feel it for both of us. Thank you for my life. Flirting, laughter, painting family, female, human.
All right, Clay, so we just got done talking about The Offspring, and you mentioned you'd felt it fell a little flat. I agree. I think we're on the same page. It's an episode that is saved by its ending, which is pretty well done. Mm-hmm. And getting to that point is a little bit worse for wear. So what are you going to give this one?
I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay.
It's fine. As I've said, or possibly will say in the future, I think I said it on the last one we recorded.
Sure.
I am a sucker for good ideas, regardless of whether or not they are completely fully executed.
Sure.
Like, if you've got an okay, episode or okay movie, but it has some really interesting ideas in it, then I'm going to like it a lot more than probably most people would.
Yeah.
I think this one has some interesting ideas in it. Execution probably isn't as good as it could be.
Yep.
It's somewhere in the middle. I'll give it a 3.
Okay. I think it's a 3 for the first 80%, and I think the ending makes it a weak 4. So I'm going to give it a 4. It's unique at this point out of all the episodes that we've watched. Just that the show hasn't done sort of heartfelt emotion that mm-hmm. well at all, mm-hmm. and it manages to do it pretty well with the one character who can't feel emotion.
I wish the whole episode had more of an edge, more of the edge that the ending has.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that ending is just like they had an opportunity, or I should say they could have had the opportunity to or the opening to betray Data's character.
Yep.
And make him react on a more human level and a more emotional level to what was going on, and they didn't. And I'm really impressed that they didn't, because I think a lesser show would have.
Yeah, yeah.
and that's what really makes the whole episode work, is that, it really is Data through the whole thing. Cause I mean, he has a very clinical, very straightforward, approach to quote unquote parenting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do wish they could have. So now that I'm thinking about it, now that I'm saying that, I think if I had to rework this episode, it would have been Data being even more hard-edged and even more clinical and analytical in his parenting styles.
Yep.
Pushed up against Crusher and her more obviously human and more emotional and more loving parenting style, and seeing that sort of clash between them, I think would have been kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, that almost made me just think about if Data's unemotional attachment was almost damaging to the Lol character.
Right.
You know, like she starts to feel emotions and he can't respond, and it's actually like more upsetting to her. That's like a very dark Star Trek, but
I don't think it has to be. I mean, I think you can do that in a way that's not depressing.
Yeah.
Or at least it might still be depressing. I don't know if it needs to be dark though.
Right. Yeah. 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 That's true. Add a little bit of bittersweet to it or something.
Joe Piscopo, I believe you're going to say.
Yeah, we need more of him, actually.
More Joe Piscopo and more Wesley and Lull in a dark closet.
That's absolutely right, but it's...
Copyright 2015, West Teasdale's Journal.
We'll put a link to that in my live journal. But Yeah, and I think it's interesting that this episode...
Can you make a live journal page that has Wesley and Lel fan fiction, and the background is just like a repeating picture of the cat from the Blues Traveler album?
Can you still make a live journal at this point? Is that even possible?
Do it so when you go there, it automatically loads a MIDI file of But Anyway.
It's making like a You're the Man Now, Dog page.
I would go to that site all the time.
This episode's interesting. I don't know if I've been complaining before how underserved Data has been this season, at least in my opinion. And this is the episode that sort of fixed that. It's not his only episode. He's got a couple more coming up. But I've felt that he had been a character that was on the periphery for a lot more than I would have thought would be normal for this season. So it's been interesting to see him get his episodes. And that's about it for this one. Clay, you got anything else you want to say?
No, not really. If you're new to sci-fi, we finished a couple months ago a podcast on the 60s television show The Prisoner.
We did.
Which you can find at backinthevillage.com or on your iTunes machine, and I'm sure there will be a link off of the Wesley and Lull But Anyway site.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to become the new Google website. It just links to everything.
But it has a sweet Lycos search bar on the top of it.
Jeeves. But we've got two more episodes of The Prisoner. We're doing the remake, so it's not quite done yet. So if you guys want to hop on, you can catch up before we finish that.
Right.
Yeah, but you can go to backinthevillage.com to check that out. And you can follow Clay on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. I'll put all those links up. And we're going to start busting through a lot more of these Star Treks. I've got a backlog going, so it's going to be at least a couple episodes released on schedule for the next few weeks, and everyone will be happy about that. So thank you, Clay, for coming back.
Anytime.
And I will see you guys next time with, what the hell is it? Am I just not going to be able to see
Sins
it?
Of the Father.
Oh, that's right. Sins of the Father. Join us for fresh
Join thoughts. Us on Clay McCormick's Star Trek podcast. Our special guest will be Wes Teasdale.
And Sean is on
and
that
Sean
one.
And Sean Murphy.
Sean Murphy.
So, wearing a very particular set of pants.
Yes.
That will make sense next week.
Let Sean know about his pants. But yeah, check us out next time with Sins of the Father. Sean and Clay help me out with that one. So see you guys.